This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Matt and Brett. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, Patrick Cooligan is going to join us from Minnesota Reformer. Talk to Brett here about a few of the stories they've been covering. Brett, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
All right. Did you see there was a hairy creature spotted in the West Metro?
Oh, I don't even know if I can comment on this one. That's right. A hairy creature in the West Metro.
That's right. Gronk was over at Hopkins High School.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Actually, there's two. There's the bear that they saw in St. Louis Park, but there's also Gronk, who actually I don't know if he has any hair. He definitely looks like a guy that gets spa treatments.
No, I think, when you're playing in the NFL, I think you can, afford to kind of wax the whole body of hair. Yeah,
that's an image we want to see. We can do that to bears, too. I mean, why not? You know, it's our way of saying we love nature. We give spa treatments to the black bears of the metro area. Gronk was at Hopkins High School. Are you a fan of Gronk, or do you hate the New England Patriots and everyone else that's had him there?
I wouldn't say I was a Patriots fan, but I was not one of those people who, when they were winning Super Bowls, were saying anybody but the Patriots. I think dynasties are not the worst thing in the world sometimes for sports. So I didn't dislike the Patriots. I wasn't a fan of them either.
As much as it hurts, many times they just were the best team on the field. And it was hard. Gronko was over. He showed up. He's got a fund that he gives donations to help out area, sports programs. He was at Hopkins High School, gave $15,000 to the sports programs over there, which was, I can't dog on the guy. I cannot dog on the guy. I mean, this is just nice. Gives the money for the sports programs and then, plays some 3-point shooting with the state champion Hopkins girls basketball team.
That is really cool that he showed up in person to make the donation, too. I mean, that's.
And apparently surprised a lot of people. Yeah. That was like, oh, there's Gronk. Oh, okay. He hit a half court shot himself. And then one of the Hopkins girls nailed it, too. So.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, show me what else you got, old man. I'm smart enough to not play the Hopkins girls basketball team in basketball. There are some challenges. There are quicker ways to die. I will say that right there. That was one large hairy creature in the West Metro, Gronk at Hopkins High School. The other one, we just had a huge bear wander through the yard, said Judy Hausman on Next Door. Oh, good. Thank God you went to Next Door app as opposed to, I don't know, tell the neighbors, my God, there's a bear in the neighborhood. 34-second video showing the black bear wandering the streets of St. Louis Park.
Oh, that's kind of an urban bear here, St. Louis Park.
Well, okay. They actually, if you look at the story here, I believe it was from Bring Me the News. If you look at the story, they actually post where the bear sightings have been. There's one. I have said this. Go down to Minnehaha Falls and right on the river there, right? Right on the river. Absolutely. I guarantee there's a bear down there. And there has been a black bear sighting down there. It was kind of over, I think, a little bit south of the veterans home over there. Just north of the airport on 55 in that area. Of course there is. That's like bear territory. And it's not like they don't have food. Dear Lord, they're eating better than I am at the dumpsters in this city. It's like, do we do Chinese? How about Cantonese? Hey, the Tibetan place over here is delicious. Have you tried that? Guarantee. And the amount of fish that just wash up on the shore of the river there, delicious. I guarantee there are there. The video was taken on Stanlin Road, which is located in the Cedar Manor neighborhood, about a mile south of where 169 meets 394. So over by Rudy Luther Toyota. You know what it is? It's Westwood Nature Areas right there. That's up in there. Have you ever been up in that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a gorgeous sight. It's a nice little lake. It's big. He's in there somewhere. What's your restaurant choice over there, though? There's nothing on Cedar Lake Road. There's nothing on 169 there. There's nothing on 394. He's just eating au natural. Well, no, he's eating bird feeders. You know, he's eating bird feeders and people's trash.
Yeah, you're right. There's really not much there for restaurant options outside of, you know, your typical, you know, fast food.
Well, the General Mills building is there. Have they been doing any, like, yogurt experiments? And it's like, the bear's like, hey!
They need a new cereal. They got a mascot.
He is. He's running over to General Mills. He's hitting their dumpsters and eating all the new experimental cereals over there. I wouldn't put more marshmallows in that. That actually is too many marshmallows. But the chocolate's delicious. Thank you very much. Count Berula. How about that, huh? No, there's no trademark infringement there, is there? Count Berula. Okay.
Well, problem solved if General Mills owns that already. Count Chocula.
Well, no, I don't think they do. Do
yeah.
they? Maybe they do.
There's so few of them, they might.
So, what's where the bears? Because there really isn't. It's office buildings. The nearest thing is like there's a Holiday over there on Winnetka and the frontage road for $3.94. I mean, if he's willing to travel, go across Highway 394. You got Taco Bell. You got the Burger King. I mean, there's lots of places to give that bear a lot of high cholesterol. But maybe I think the bear's actually got some standards. For
that
God's
would
sake.
Be fitting if someone's going to Taco Bell like at 3 a.m. and they see a bear.
They're kind of a little bit liquored up and they're trying to order through the bear. Hello, your bear microphone ain't working.
You forgot the taco sauce. Can you have your bear bring it over to us?
More bear. So I'm going to guess Westwood Nature Center. He's up in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's probably a good guess.
We call the police and spoke. Oh, yeah, I'm sure the police. St. Louis Park is vroom, vroom. Well, right there. I'll take care of the bear. They called the DNR. They asked we cautioned neighbors to put garbage cans in the garage and put bird feeders away. Because, yeah, sure. Yeah, the bear is going to really take your suggestions on that. A commenter who lives on the Crestview neighborhood near 169, just south of the Cedar Manor area, wrote about two broken bird feeder poles in their yard. I don't think that was pigeons. I'm just going to let you know. They added that they were told by staff at local Wild Birds Unlimited that there have been others in the area reporting broken bird feeder poles. He's eating the bird seed. And by the way, are you supposed to be putting out bird seed with the bird flu going around? I thought we were not supposed to be putting out bird seed.
That's a good question.
As uncommon as a bear sighting in St. Louis Park seems, it's only one of dozens in the metro area of spring. Most of them have been the northern suburbs, and there have been numerous sightings in St. Louis Park, Minnetonka, and Eden Prairie. The DNR says a black bear range has slowly been expanding south and west. Anyone who spots a bear is encouraged to not go and snuggle with the bear. Do not. It's no, 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 no. Don't go up. Don't. It's not cuddle time. It's not time to, I bet I could take the bear in a fight. No, don't, do not, no.
No, it's someone that wants to make it its pet. Oh, yeah, we can raise the bear in the backyard.
It's wanting someone to love it. Yeah, it's going to be loving you, give you a big bear hugs. So it puts out a list. Here is a map of the bear sightings in the metro area. Now, we understand in the Urban Dictionary there is another term for bear, and apparently I qualify, so hi there, big fella. We're talking bears. Can we send the bears up to take up the freaking turkeys in North Minneapolis? I mean, someone needs to go take them out.
Maybe that's why the bears are only kind of going to the South Minneapolis, West Metro area. They know the Northeast has already been claimed.
They're too afraid of the Northeast turkeys. They're a little bit vicious, are they? So there has been a sighting of a black bear over by Highway 100 in 394. There's one by the Mall of America right on the other side of Cedar Avenue.
Well,
who doesn't love the Mall of America? Yeah. I mean, that's shopping for everyone right there. Bloomington down. I'm going to guess that looks to be like Highland area, 169, maybe Highland 169 area.
That definitely makes sense.
A lot over kind of in the stretch just east of 101 heading up to 394, a ton in the North Metro. Has there been a St. Paul sighting? Well, there's a one on the one side of the river, like I said, just on Hiawatha there, just north of the airport. And so there's one there, but that's in the other side of the river, St. Paul there. What is it? Maplewood is the Northeast Metro, that one long, narrow city that's over right off of 694.
Yeah, it's like an L shape almost.
Yeah, that looks like there's been one there. None in Wisconsin. Well, I think that the Minnesota DNR has their limits. But no, a lot of bears running around up in the North Metro. A lot of bears up there. Holy God. Coon Rapids, Blaine, Ham Lake. Oh, Ham Lake. I mean, of course, you got a lake of ham. You're just asking for the Bears to come up there. White Bear Lake.
I mean, yeah, of course.
That's their alma mater there, you know. Hell, graduates. Open up a yearbook from White Bear Lake, and there's like a bear. Oh, wow, really? I don't remember Phil. I don't remember him. So, yes, be careful. So there's a bear running around. It's not a big freaking dog. As a matter of fact, get your dogs away from it because bear one, dog zero. I'm just going to call it right now. Or your Mr. Button's kitty. Oh, I know you see that video of the cat scaring the bear on the porch. And say to yourself, Mr. Buttons can take care of the house. Mr. Buttons will be an appetizer, okay? Be careful. I don't know. And side note here, once again, I'm not sure if we're supposed to be putting bird seed out with the bird flu going around. Because the bird flu has been going around to all the species of birds. So I'm not sure if you're supposed to do that. So, I mean, if you are putting it out, just anticipate the buffet is open. Delicious. I'm in Hopkins, so I'm right next to St. Louis Park. I got a suet feeder there. You think that bear is going to, oh, yeah, all right, there's the stuff. That's just like eating bacon grease. Yum. You put some peanuts in there, too. Delicious. Thank you. So I guess I'm going to have to take that down.
If you do happen to get one in your area, you need a picture for the calendar. That would be an awesome picture for one of the months.
Well, we had the raccoon that I had trapped in the tree. Remember that from a few – were you here for that a few years back?
Oh, that's not ringing a bell
That was Brian. Back in the Brian days. There was a raccoon. And this raccoon, okay, and like I said, this is what I have said to the Minnesota Zoo. You got a raccoon out there. Don't tell me you paid for that raccoon. Because I can get you four in my neighborhood right now for free. All yours. I'll put a trap out. I'll bring them over to you. They'll be happy. They'll be a little wild, a little, you know, gamey, but there you go. Don't tell me you paid for a raccoon because I got tons. I had one in the backyard, and I'm doing yard work, and I'm looking at a tree, and there's the raccoon. So I decided to give the raccoon a bath, and it didn't really do much else. I mean, the raccoon was kind of like spinning around, saying, "Yeah, can you get under here?" Oh, that's great. It was a dry season, so I was watering plants. So I've had the raccoon, ducks, of course, bear. There are turkeys. I saw a pheasant. Now that's not one you see a lot of in the metro. That was over at Valley Park in Hopkins. Saw a pheasant running down I was like, wow, you don't see too many pheasants in the metro. Foxes. I've seen a lot of foxes. Hello there. I've seen a lot of foxes in the metro. Coyotes. I didn't see a live one, but I saw one that lost a fight with a snowplow once. That Ooh. Was on a 169. I said, I drove past it. Yeah, it was. It was in a snowbank. I'm like, that's a coyote. And it's like, his wily coyote who's got his Acme rocket boots on. And apparently snowplow beats rocket boots. Who knows? But so there are coyotes around, but I haven't seen them. Bear, it doesn't surprise me. I wish we'd bring back the moose. Own caribou would be great, too. We might have some buffalo. You see that they might have some wild buffalo down in the Southwest Metro. They might let them roam down there.
Oh, really?
God, if you let all of a sudden the buffalo start getting around, man, that's going to be tough. If the buffalo with attitude start roaming the neighborhoods, you got to pay respect there. You can't be just, you know, shoving them around. I told you about my one run-in with a buffalo, right? I was out in South Dakota. Hmm. So if you go to South Dakota, there's lots of things saying, here's what you don't do with a buffalo. Okay. Now, before anyone says it, no, it wasn't like I was grabbing it by the antler saying, give me a smoochie. No. I would have lost that fight. I was out at it was one of the parks out there, and there was a buffalo. I'd say 200 feet from where we were, so not near. And by the standards of what they said, I was okay, and I went out there and I took a few pictures of the buffalo just standing out there in its majesty, beautiful creature. And then I did a selfie. And as I was noticing the selfie, I could tell the attitude of the buffalo had changed. It was like, oh, no, 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 no. Instagram, the hell with that. You know, it was kind of one of those things. And so I kind of quickly started like, all right, time to move away. He wasn't doing the stomping or anything. He wasn't doing the snorting. Snorting and stomping, of course, once again. You know, hello there. There you know. You're going to get into something. But I backed away. I got away from it. and I was known there. So we hopefully the Buffalo don't start roaming the streets, because then we're going to lose a lot, man. That is going to be – Buffalo will have control of a lot of things there. I mean, Shakopee, Chanhassen, it's – you know, just call it Buffalo Town at that point.
Yeah, Bears at least generally try to avoid confrontation. Yeah, Buffalo, that might be a little bit of a different situation if you get those wandering around.
We already know it's going to happen. You see a freaking bear or Gronk, either one, do not engage in eye contact with either the bear or Gronk. You're going to go down. I'm just going to let you know. You're going to lose that fight either way. It's not no, – Gronk, of course, is not a pet. Gronk is not a pet, okay? Well, Brady. But I mean that's – I think he's got him, you know, tagged and got the electric chip in him. So he'll – Brady will find him.
Followed him to Tampa. I
exactly.
think you might be right that he
should. You know, Gronk is only Tom Brady's pet. The bear is not a cuddly animal that wants to play. It's a bear. And trust me, those paws and claws will take you out. And if they stand up and they swipe, that it's a bad day for you. You will not win that fight. Just leave it alone. It doesn't need rescuing. It doesn't need a snuggle. It doesn't need a leash. It doesn't need a home. It's a bear. Leave it alone.
But Buffalo, on the other hand,
Buffalo,
they do.
Oh, man, just right, yeah, smoochy, right in the face. Don't do that. Do not do that. You just heard us turn from helpful radio station into two jackasses just blabbering. Do not do that. Do not kiss the buffalo, because that will also be a very bad day. Worse day, I think, than the bear.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
100%.
God.
Yeah, no, buffalo you don't want to mess with, yeah.
No. Nor
a bear's
do
only going to do something if you make it angry or annoy it, but a buffalo, yeah.
I mean, you know, the turkeys of Northeast Minneapolis, the bears of the Twin Cities Metro, the buffalo of the Southwest, just, you know, welcome to nature, kids. Welcome to nature. Not Gronk. Did we release Gronk into the wild? Is he running around the city right now, frantically looking for bird feeders to eat? Sorry. 952-940. He was a nice guy. That was very nice what Gronk did. That is very nice what he did with the Hopkins School District. Thank you, Gronk. All my best. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I got to put out some fires when I do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Gary is in Minneapolis and wants to engage in bear talk.
Yeah, you know, you may think of something. Back in the 50s, I was kind of a little type, and I don't remember exactly how old, but the bears, the cars used to stop. There are bears all over Yellowstone, and they're feeding them bread, different people feed them from their cars. And I did what I really remember that was bizarre. There are two bears, I think it was two or three, sitting there by the road, and the parents had the kids in the back of the bear taking pictures, so I said, I asked my folks, can I do that? And boy, my mom put her foot down. She said, they shouldn't be doing that. And then they found out it wasn't for the good for the bears or us.
No, it's
so
not.
They moved into a dump, and then the dump didn't work either because they still equate us with food. Thank you, Matt.
You got it, Gary. When we were out there, there was one point we were out there, and there, you know, people were rolling that, and they had like wild horses or burros, and they were just coming in and sticking their heads into the car. I'm like, okay, this isn't good. This is not a good thing. So, have you ever been to Vince Schutte's Bear Preserve up in off Pelican?
I did not know.
By Orr, Minnesota. Okay, so this is, you know, you're thinking to yourself, the majesty and splendor of the black bear. You go up to Vince Schutte's place. It was a lumber camp at one point, and this guy owned the lumber camp, and he basically, when they'd make food, the bears would show up because the bears aren't stupid. And it's like, okay, the dinner bell's ringing here. And so the bears basically learned that this is an area they can be at. They ended up, you know, setting up a bear camp there themselves. And after the lumber camp moved on, they still were there. And I think they used it for campings and stuff like this. And so now it's been converted into a bear sanctuary. Now, this is what happens. You take a bus, you go on out there, and they just put piles of food out there. And in the majesty and splendor of the bears, they just come rolling on out and eat the pile of food and roll back into the woods. It's interesting because it's a bear, I saw some really cute baby bears. That was adorable. One of them was climbing a tree. It was very cute. But it's not exactly like seeing them in the wild or anything like that. Also, if you ever go up to Ely and they got the Wolf Center there. The Wolf Center is worth the trip every time. The Bear Center got a little bit of an issue with the Bear Center. It's kind of like, let's get the bears on down here. And they ring the bell for the bears, and the fattest bears I have ever seen in my – I mean, these bears, you know, every step is just a lumbering – you know, there is this the day I get more Captain Crunch, you know, sort of, you know, nature and splendor. The guy's like, let me feed the bear. He, like, puts the thing of marshmallow in his mouth, and the bear eats it. I'm like, these are just trained circus bears at this point. And they're not in shape. They're not in circus ready. They're not. It's interesting. You'll see some bears because of the health condition of the bears. They can't move too quick. So it's kind of like going up into a clinic and just seeing some people lying in the bed up there. I guess that's the only with more hair and a more pronounced snout.
They almost got to like give them those little hover round things that can move that you see at the grocery store.
This is what we're going to do with the Lime scooters. We'll put the bears on the Lime scooters. They'll scoot on in, eat their pile of marshmallows as God intended, and off they go back up into the woods. This also, by the way, that bear place had one of the – oh, my God, this was funny. So my daughter at this, my youngest daughter, I think she's such an, you know, kind of an innocent child. She's such an innocent child. I think she was like 3. We go to the Bear Center and they have a video that's going on in the Bear Center. And so we, you know, and if you've ever been out to like the Minnesota Zoo, they occasionally have like little videos that are going on or the Minneapolis Institute of Arts will have a video or something like that. So you sit down and you watch it for a little bit and you see what nature is. The International Wolf Center does it. They have these wonderful documentaries that they show out there about wolves in the wild and stuff. It's well worth the trip. So we get in there and we sit down and it shows this bear and its cubs playing around and having a good time, right? Well, it sounds like good fun, right? All right. So all of a sudden, the bear expert comes back out of the den, taking a look at the, you know, seeing what's going on. He comes out and looks just right in the camera and goes, yeah, both the bear cubs are dead. And I'm like, oh, my God. I look over at my 3-year-old daughter, sweet, innocent, pure child, tears just bawling. The baby bears! Ah! Ah! Just not ready for that turn. Not ready for that. And, I mean, and so here she is, just cannot be consoled. I am like, okay, what's the most expensive freaking stuffed bear they got in this place? Here you go. This one's alive. There you go. So I ended up, it was like an $80 bear I had to freaking buy, which I imagine with today's inflation would be $150. But I had to buy this dang thing because it was the only way I could get her to calm down after watching the bear cub massacre on the good documentary to have in there with the kids, by the way.
Oh, they know what they're doing.
Oh, you jerks. What are you
doing? They know it's getting you to the gift shop once they upset the kids. Yeah, yeah.
Give me an idea about Rose. Rose, my youngest, when there was a hurricane down in Houston, I was watching footage of it, and I said, what's that? What's going on? I said, well, they're trying to rescue that dog there. They're rescuing the dog. I said, well, what happened? So, well, they got abandoned, and you know, they've been left there, and so they got to try to save them. And she does this reaction, which you just cannot mimic. Oh, no! You know, just like this. And I swear to God, if there could have been, there would have been a rose-shaped hole through the wall running towards Houston to save as many of the dogs as she possibly could because she's a big-hearted sweetheart of a girl, and she still is today. That is the girl that watched the bear death scene. The bear cub death scene. Damn you! And you're... diabetic bears that you got rolling around on the back? Can you stop feeding them marshmallows? And why don't you just go find something, you know, a little bit more friendly? A little bit, if you could. Oh, God, that sucked. Oh, you bastards. That was really, that was just me saying you, because you're right. They knew exactly.
Oh, yeah. They know. Little kids, we better put it in that video.
Hey,
now.
Kids. Yeah. Hey, take a look at this. Cute little bear cup. Here it is. Look at it. It's adorable. It's dead. Oh, my God. Just wanted to go jam you into that bear cave. I'll tell you. They'd be done with you. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Enough about bears, damn it, Brett. Come on, man. When we come back, I gotta still clear up this mess of I've made, because I'm right and I'm gonna stand by it. That's at least the mentality I have. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. The Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. So, in redistricting, I have been moved in my house in the city of Hopkins from Minnesota 5 with Ilhan Omar to Minnesota 3, Dean Phillips. And, you know, I like Dean Phillips. Of course, I'm going to vote for Dean Phillips, okay? I want to make sure I can be upset and critical of someone and still vote for them, all right? And no. It, right now, I'm going to let you know, you have to vote Democrat. Even if it's a Democrat you can't stand, you've got to vote Democrat, because you already see what the other side is doing. So plug your nose and vote, and that's just that. So we get our first piece of campaign mailer from Dean Phillips's campaign. This is coming to Hopkins, not exactly Republican territory, okay? It's a fairly blue city. I mean, it's probably the bluest metro on the west side, probably maybe St. Louis Park, maybe Golden Valley, but it's one of them for sure. So you're not exactly sending it into a moderate territory or even a Republican part of your district. Here's what the letter said. Now, this is one of those things where it's a printed out thing and a neighbor sends it to you. But this is, once again, coordinated through the campaign. And this is what we got. Greetings from the Dean team. As a volunteer and your neighbor, I wanted you to know that Dean Phillips is working hard across the aisle to achieve the best for all of us. He listens and welcomes your opinions. Write him a message at blah, blah, blah. Please vote for him to return to Congress. Okay. So here it is. The first time I'm hearing from this new Democratic congressman that I'm going to be representing. And his first message to us is, I'm reaching across the aisle. I'm reaching across the aisle. Not healthcare, not the environment, not education, not better wages, not women's right to choose, none of that stuff. Nope. I'm working with the other side of the aisle. That's your first standard. Now, I, to say the least, I'm a little bothered by this, because it's this mentality that's been put out there by Republic or by the Democrats that this is the strategy to win, that you're going to just take all the Democrats for granted. So you basically forego the Democrats and you just focus on you're going to win. And I've used the field analogy multiple times. You are a farmer. You have two fields. In one field on the right are the Republicans. On one field on the left are the Democrats. And these are two huge individual fields. And there are some Democrats who, when they look across their field on the way on the other side, are some other Democrats way on the other side of that field. And they look, and right on the other side of the fence are some Republicans. And they say to themselves, well, I'm a lot closer to that Republican than I am to that guy way on the other side of the field. Maybe, you know, maybe I could work with them and we can, I'd be better to work with them. Now, one thing is, first of all, if you're a Democrat, if you're running as a DFLer, you should support the party platform, and you shouldn't be immediately looking for ways you can torpedo your party's platform, because I'm working with the other side of the aisle. That's my mentality. And once again, this is Dean Phillips's first mailer to us. Not about anything, any major tentpole Democratic issue. I'm working with the other side of the aisle. But it's this idea that, you know, that the people on the other side of that aisle, of the fence on the Republican field, want anything to do with you. They don't. I mean, there are rare few occasions, But it is very rare that these things ever happen. That they, especially on major issues, you're never going to get that. I mean, no Republican runs with their first issue saying, I'm going to work with the Democrats. They wouldn't even make it out of the primaries, for God's sakes. And here we are yet once again. And I know a lot of Democrats going out there, they say, oh, Matt, you know, politics is politics, but I work with these guys behind the scene. You know, they're really nice. These are really nice guys. We get along great. Well, that's fine and all. But have you seen the bills they're passing? Have you seen what they did? No one ever said, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer was really good. He made a delicious side salad. No one says that. Because you can't get over the main course of what Jeffrey Dahmer did. These croutons are delightful, Jeffrey. No! You have to look at what they're doing. And they're taking advantage of moderate Democrats who have sat there for years and tried to pull this crap. Ever since 1984. Let me go back in time for you. 1984, Democrats get throttled in the 1984 election. They get throttled. Mondale gets beat. And from that point forward, this moderate Democrats started in this crap campaign of working with this, oh, well, I'm working with the other side of the aisle. I don't have any. I mean, there have been multiple times where the Democrats, I've talked to Democrats, and the first thing they say is, I have no problem working, going against my own party. I'm like, you do understand you're a Democrat, right? I mean, you just, you know, it's, is there anything in the Democratic Party platform you agree with? No? Then why are you there? You should, I mean, if you are a Democrat, shouldn't you agree with some level of the platform that is being put forward? And once again, Dean Phillips has done a lot of nice things. This just rubbed me raw because, once again, this is your first foray into a strong Democratic area. And you think the message that the people in Hopkins want to hear that are now part of your district is how much you want to work with the other side of the aisle. That's the number one thing. My God, man, no. You guys have been sucking up to Republicans for decades. And by the way, the years you guys have done that most of all have been some of the worst showings for Democrats, period. You guys in 2010 were frantically trying to sabotage your own platform, frantically trying to say the Republicans really like me. And the Republicans aren't going to do you any favors. They're not coming out and saying, you know what, hey, you know what? I like working with that guy on the other side of the aisle. No, if you don't have integrity, if you don't believe in your own party, then you will not win. And this never happens. Republicans, like I said, never lead with this. Never. Even in strong Republican districts. And once again, Republicans have no problem looking at you and saying, when it comes to the Republican Party platform, there is no budging. I'm voting with the Republican Party. Maybe on some secondary issues, sure. And I always get the Democrats to come out and say, well, Matt, you just want a rubber stamp. No, I want individualism. But you're telling me that as a Democrat, there's not one issue, healthcare, environment, education, transportation, agriculture, there's not one issue that you can champion under the DFL banner first and foremost? Tim Walz is a moderate Democrat. He is. And I've talked many times about, we had him on the air, and he gave the greatest answer ever in regards to why we need to provide the needy, the hungry food. And he talked about it from the farmer. He talked about the needy. He talked about it from the being the right thing to do. And it was outstanding. And it was DFL. It was 100% Democrat. It wasn't like, I'm working with the Republican. He never once was. He never once was. So here you are. You once again, we're getting back into this. We're thinking we're going to lose. So we got to go on out there and try our hardest to look like we're going to the other side of the aisle. All you do is alienate your base. All you ever do. Let's go back in time. 1992, 2006, 2008, 2018. Why, those were the big Democratic years. Those years were huge Democratic wins. Huge. Why? Because every Democrat was running around talking about how I work with the other side. No, not even close. In all those years, the Democrats won because they were championing Democratic issues. They were. 2018 was health care. You went back, you can go back through time. And, you know, they finally, I mean, Howard Dean, before that before the Republicans went after him, they were terrified of him. In 2006, 2008, they went out there as Democrats and ran as proud Democrats, and that's integrity. If your first salvo across the bow is how you're going to torpedo the other side of the aisle, or torpedo your own side of the aisle while you work with the other side of the aisle, there you go. If that's your first salvo, if that's your first thing you're going to say, well, you've already lost half the Democrats. I'll give you the great example of this. Terry Bonoff, God, oh, was that ugly. Was that ugly a few years back? She started that campaign, and that was, I think, believe in Minnesota, third race. She started that campaign, and I thought, oh, yeah, Democrats are going to pick this seat up, and they're going to pick this seat up badly. It's going to be a really good win for them. And she started off talking about Democratic issues, and then her campaign, right around April of that year, just morphed into, I like to work with the other side of the aisle. I'm not a one-party kind of person. I like to work with the other side of the aisle. I want to work with the other side of the aisle. I want to work with the other side of the aisle. And that's all she was doing. I tried to get her on my show at that point for months, and they didn't even call me. Nothing. All of a sudden, about mid-October, I get a call from her campaign manager, and it was like, hey, Matt, can we get Terry on the air? I said, sure, I'd be more than happy to. Great. So I bring her on the air, and all of a sudden, it was like freaking Bernie Sanders. Hey, where did anyone get the idea? I'm not a strong progressive. I love progressive issues. And I sat there during that interview, and I said to myself, oh, you're about to get your ass handed to you. Because you took the Democratic vote for granted. You tried to get 20 Republicans who are not going to vote for you to vote for you. You spent the entire last 4 months basically begging a handful of Republicans to vote for you and by sacrificing your own party platform. And now your own party is not going to turn out for you. So you came onto this show to basically talk to the party faithful and say, hey, I'm really a real progressive. Where did anyone get the idea that I'm not? I knew at that point she was going to lose, and she lost badly. She lost badly.
I was just looking it up. That was only 2 years before Dean Phillips just wiped the floor with Eric Paulson in 2018. She lost by 13 percentage points.
Yes, she did. She lost badly.
It's a big turnaround from 16 to 18.
Oh, and Paulson was scared to death of her. Oh, at the beginning? Scared to death, and then she just completely derailed her own campaign because all it became about is, I'm really a Republican in a Democrat's clothes. And this is why you brought up Dean Phillips. We had Dean Phillips in this studio. Dean Phillips was one of the best damn interviews I ever had because he was proud to be a Democrat. He didn't lead with, I'm going to work with the other side of the aisle. And don't get me wrong, I understand there are going to be times you're going to be in conservative groups and you want to bring out that campaign speech. Fine. And I'm not saying that you can't work with the other side of the aisle. Sure, by all means. After you get done with the Democratic platform, which once again, you're a Democrat, you should agree with pretty much the tent poles of the Democratic platform. When it comes to other issues, sure, sit down, work with them. Great. You can even vote against the Democratic Party. I have no problem with that. It's not about a rubber stamp. It just is, should your first interaction with your new voters in a strong Democratic area be, I'm going to work with the other side? Really? How about telling me how proud of a Democrat you are, and here are the three Democratic issues I will champion every single time. Bing, bing, bing. Wow. All right. We're done. I don't have anything to worry about here. Democrats, last week, you were handed a campaign gift from the Supreme Court. And this is not taking any joy in any capacity on the Roe v. Wade ruling. It's not. but you have 70% of the country furious about this, looking for leadership right now. And the last thing you should be doing is sitting there talking about how I'm working with the other side of the aisle. You mean the other side of the aisle that's basically had the long game to go on out there? Because they don't sit there all day long and talk about how they're going to work with the other side of the aisle. And they have managed to basically derail this country effectively. Because in a vacuum of integrity, belligerence looks like it. And that's where we're at. And if the Democrats don't have any integrity in their own platform, they will not win. That's just how it works. And the Republicans, even though they're belligerent jackasses, they will get votes. That's how it works. So you need to find your base again. Stop telling me what you're going to work with the other side. Tell me what part of the DFL platform you're going to champion. You can work with the other side of the aisle. Once again, you can vote against them. It's fine. This is not about absolutes. But if you're signing up to be a DFLer, then support the main DFL party platform, period. You have to do that. It is just, I can already see it. And once again, every single year since 1984, the Democrats, the moderate Democrats, have been out there begging and pleading about how I really am a Republican. We have lost. We have lost. And right now you've got a motivated base that's looking for a direction to go. And if all you're going to do is talk about how you're going to work with the other side of the aisle, the other side of the aisle that's taken Roe v. Wade away from them, is looking to take contraception away from them, is looking to take away gay marriage away from them, is looking to take away, you know, who a person can love and what kind of sex they can have in their house, in their private residence. That's what they're looking to take away from people. If you can't put together a freaking DFL policy and go out there and kick ass, then get out of the damn way and let someone else do it. Because that shows me you cannot win. Dear Lord, it's the easiest freaking layup I've seen in a long time. And you're telling me about I'm working with the other side of the aisle. Why? Is they trying to get rid of contraception? Please. Now, I'm not a fool. I'm going to vote for Dean Phillips, hands down. But for God's sakes, people, don't tell me why you're trying to stick your nose up the backside of the Republican Party. Tell me what you're going to champion. There's a lot of issues, and there's a lot of really good issues, and there's a lot of really good issues that are moderate Democratic issues that you can sell. And if you can't do it, then just get out of the way, please. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. And you know what? I'm right on this issue. Go back and look at the elections. Take a look at the elections. Every election year that Democrats have been out there saying, I'm really a Republican, we gotten our ass handed to us. Every year we've gone out there and said, I'm a proud Democrat, we win. That's a fact. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. No, I'm mad about this. No, I'm really mad about this. That you've already said that when you say it like that, I don't mind you. I mean, like I said, you're a Democrat. Fine. Do I want politicians that work with the other side of the aisle? Sure. But do I want that to be their number one priority? No. I would like them, as the Democrats, to be, you know, caring for the Democratic platform. That should be their first priority. They can work. If a Republican wants to vote for them on that, by all means, please welcome on in. But to my mind, if you are a person who sits there and the first thing is, I want them working with the other side, well, then go vote Republican. Seriously. If your first thing you want is, I want them to agree with the Republicans more, well, then go vote Republican because you're not a Democrat. There's got to be something in the DFL platform that every Democrat in this state can go on out there and champion. Everything. Transportation. You wanted more streamlined bus lines or bike trails. Water protection. Dear God, that's an easy layup, isn't it? Health care for all. The expansion of rural health care. How about that? Broadband into farmhouses. My God, what a concept that is. And by the way, that's being done right now and something you can champion as opposed to sitting there and saying, the Republicans tell me to vote for that yet. Don't do that. Find your issue with under the DFL umbrella. And if you can't find one, then you're not a Democrat. And you can run for office. Please do. But don't do it as a DFLer. Do it as an independent. Or do it as a Republican. Although I think you'll be a little surprised when you get over there and they say, oh, by the way, you don't have any say. Don't be any more of this. I work with the other side of the aisle. You know, that's the thing which is funny. We've seen Democrats go to the other side. Remember Norm Coleman when he became a Republican? And all of a sudden, I always said this. It's like, how is it that every issue you have all of a sudden ceased to be, you know, so you're for the environment, but all of a sudden now you're not, that you were wrong the entire time. You were for education. But now all of a sudden everything you believed, you know, 20 seconds before your press conference is wrong? No, it's because the Republicans do not demand any working with the other side of the aisle. They just don't. And so it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous when you have that the Republican, the Democrats are out there singing, that's going to be your winning strategy. Don't just abandon it. You've been doing that since 1984. Every year you do that, you lose, and you lose badly. What you need to do is go on out there and sell the DFL platform, because it's a good platform that helps everyone. Hour two is coming up next. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Matt and Brett here. So you just mentioned something. I'm going to pull this up. Trump apparently had asked China, it was acting, and China was shooting us with a hurricane gun. Did you hear he wanted to bomb Mexico?
Well, because no one would know we did it. Well, it wasn't us.
He wanted. It sounded like he wanted Esper to take out Vindman. He wanted to, you know, kind of, hey, why don't you take him out? Wanted to. God, he was just horrible. He, near the beginning of Donald Trump's time in office, the then president had a pressing question of his national security aides and administrative officials. Does China have the secret technology, a weapon even, to create large man-made hurricanes and launch them at the United States? Does he realize the hurricanes don't come from China? That come from, never mind.
You don't launch them like in a rocket over a country and then disperse hurricane
like
when you
Nerf
reach.
Nerf gun or something like that. Pew, pew, pew. There. If they did have this technology, don't you think they would have scoured the southeastern United States pretty clean at this point? I'm just, yeah, okay. If so, would this constitute an act of war to a foreign power? Could the U.S. retaliate military-wise? Wow, God, he was just an absolute idiot, wasn't he? Just an absolute idiot. Hurricane. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Speaking of Trump, though, Elon Musk said he will reverse Twitter's permanent ban on former President Trump should the Tesla CEO conclude his deal to acquire the social media company for $44 billion. I'm going to just let everyone know now. If Donald Trump comes back to Twitter, I'm gone. I'm going to shut down my accounts and I'm done. Nope, not going to be there. I do not. He is truly a horrible human being. He is an absolute horrible human being. And, you know, the reason why he was shut down is because he was constantly lying and jeopardizing. It's not personal opinion to tell people to storm the Capitol or to drink bleach. It's not personal. You're just a difference of opinion. And I'll tell you what, maybe it's time. And if I'm social media, I'm going to guess it's a question of how long before the rest of the social media companies tell Elon Musk no. Under this guise is that if he takes it over, I don't see any reason why that the federal government's not going to make social media companies responsible for the content on their sites. And then all of a sudden you get one person saying, you should go shoot this guy over on this street and here's his address. And all of a sudden, you know, Twitter's like, oh, wait a minute, we can't have that. So I guarantee you if that's the case, he'll change his story. But no, if Trump comes back to Twitter, I'm gone. I'm not going to be there. There's no point.
He at least won't be back for a while since he's promoting his own social media platform. It would kind of defeat his own purpose to come back.
I think he's such a dummy. He would basically leave. He just one day, I decided I'm not going to cut down my own account on my own social media page, and I'm going to start and go back to Twitter because I love you. I love you, Twitter. I'm back, and he'll do this and. You know, because that's in this modern day age, that's the conquering hero returning, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, in his warped mind, that dude thinks he's, you know, Jesus incarnate coming on back. So, no, I could see him doing it. I think we're going to have a little bit of a reckoning here with the social media pages. And, you know, there are people like, I go to this website because they don't regulate anything. And it's like, have you gone down there? It is disturbing. Someone will say, who else likes celery? And then I can't even describe the comments on something like that. It's just truly the most unbelievably ugly thing you'll ever see. And it's a bunch of morons who think that they're witty and clever and intelligent, and they're not. The you know, I give Twitter some and Dorsey some credit. They basically got to a point, although reminder, they got to a point only after they basically tried to overthrow the government of the United States of America. That, okay, enough was enough. But the reality is that you got to a point where you said this guy is not, he is just too powerful and he is able to get people to storm capitals. That is not a good thing to be associated with. And so, I tell you what, I think it would change a lot of social media immediately. And on some ways, people would say, well, if you could sue, then basically that you can't, you know, that doesn't mean for a free space of communication. It's like, well, no, a free space of communication is you going out and saying something on the public street. And, if I can quote Tay-Tay, Taylor Swift, you know, it's if you say it on the streets, it's going to be lights out. But you say it online, and, you know, there's no consequences for you. That's not how the song goes, but I'm not as good of a songwriter as Taylor Swift, just as why I thought. No, it's you know, the reality is that we've allowed people, I mean, all social media does is it takes intelligent people and make them look stupid as hell, and it takes stupid people and dangerous people and gives them legitimacy. And that's what they do. And so the question here is that do we have to have a law in this country that says, you know, you can't – if you're a social media platform, if I own a newspaper, I can't – we had Onions and Orchids. And we had Onions and Orchids that were on the show. That was the Mesabi Daily News up in Virginia. And every week they would put out these things where this people would be attacked and attacked. And I guarantee you someone finally sued. And what had to happen? All of a sudden they had to put in rules. And Onions and Orchids got ruined. It wasn't as good as far as entertaining it goes. But we've always said eventually someone's going to sue them and it's going to be shut down. Well, maybe that's where you're going to go with this. Because, you know, you can go out there and say, I disagree with this tax platform. That's perfectly fine. But I'm saying I disagree with this tax platform and the politician that proposed it. I am going to go find their kids and gut them and eviscerate them, and that's what I'm going to do. That's not, and I think that you have to have some level of standards. And frankly, Twitter has been far more enjoyable without Donald Trump on it than it was beforehand. And it's funny because all these conservatives keep leaving, going like to Parler and all these other sites, and they all blow up. And the reason why is that they want – an Elon Musk and fire on Twitter, because that's their whole goal. Their whole goal is to kick open the door of your house, go to the bathroom in the middle of your floor, point to it with a smile on their face and say, you've got to like this. And Elon Musk will allow them to do that on Twitter. This is why they can't stand it when they go to an only conservative site, is that there's not, I can't make liberals cry anymore. Liberal tears are not here because it's all conservative. This is lame. So that's why they want that back. I, It's a shame because it really does feel to me as if this is just – that's all you – know, Elon Musk is such a pathetic, weak-minded individual. And, yeah, he's got a lot of money, and so he could go buy this. But he's buying this because he just doesn't like people criticizing him. And he's trying to cover his butt by saying, I'll let Trump back on. Well, what would be your estimate of amount of people if Trump came back on would leave Twitter immediately?
It'd be a lot, enough to the point where I would say within a year, Elon Musk would want to sell Twitter again because he wouldn't be making any money on it with people dropping off. I think that's a very real possibility that other people are going to say, well, I'm done with Twitter.
Is some upstart new, version of Twitter. That was a different version, but it would take is one there, and everyone goes over there. And by the way, we're not going to let Donald Trump on here, and everyone jumps over there, and all of a sudden, Twitter is no more fun anymore. And Elon Musk loses. Hey, I know the truth. Maybe that's the best way to do it. Maybe that's the best way to do it. Is that just the minute there comes another? And no, I'm not going to do Discord, or I'm not going to do. I mean, a lot of these places. I mean, they're trying, but I'm waiting to see which one, not Facebook necessarily, but which one, and not Instagram because that's kind of weird. TikTok's not going to happen, no. But it just find the next messaging board like Twitter that comes up that actually gets some traction and starts becoming a much more popular destination spot. I think that will – Twitter will then – Elon Musk will sit there and, losing $44 billion is going to be pretty damn hilarious to watch.
I would think, too, at some point if that were to happen and he had to sell Twitter and – yeah, as you said, lose 44 million followers. I would think,
billion.
I would think at some point Facebook would probably try to fill that void themselves or another company and come up with their own platform. I mean, they already invented. Well, they own Instagram, but what would stop them from making a Twitter-like platform?
Maybe if Facebook's got how much could they really expand? I don't know, but if they got a brain in their head, they'd probably be saying we're ready to go with Fitter, which is the Facebook version of Twitter.
Or Google or Apple says the same thing, another big company with a lot of money, not one of these goofy startups like Parler or something that has no money and no recognition of brand or anything. Some wealthy company does that, they could start a
And they'll already get legitimacy if they say, we're not going to allow hate speech. We're not going to allow Donald Trump. We're not going to allow the viciousness on there. That's just not going to be there. We'll ban you and throw you off if you put out misinformation. Immediately you'd have legitimacy. So 952-946-6205, we're running late. You've got our good friend Patrick Kulikin joining you from the Minnesota Reformer.
Yeah, Patrick Kulikin joins us today as we are going to be talking. We of course, talked about this last week on Friday with Max, the Vikings and their wage theft allegations with that subcontractor that they hired. We're going to get Patrick's thoughts on that, but then we'll also touch on the Republican State Convention this week and what a mess that could be now that they're going to have electronic voting, something that the Republican base doesn't trust, but now they're going to have it anyways at their convention. Isn't that nice?
And it's apparently a company that's worked with Disney, which even makes it even more
infuriating. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's going to be just interesting to be a fly on the wall of that convention to hear all the controversy that's going to – it's not a legitimate endorsement of Scott Jensen.
Oh, it's going to go badly.
So we'll touch on that as well.
Patrick Kulikin, Minnesota Reformer, joining Brett right here on AM 950.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Brett Johnson here on a Tuesday afternoon. And right now we are joined by Patrick Kulikin, who is the editor-in-chief of the Minnesota Reformer. For the latest in Minnesota news and politics, make sure you go over to MinnesotaReformer.com as Patrick joins us now on the show. Hey, how you doing today? Thanks for coming back on.
Good to be here.
Absolutely. So let's start off on the big story that you guys covered last week, and that has to do with, some wage theft claims against contractors and subcontractors of the Minnesota Vikings. So let's go through some background. So the Minnesota Vikings, of course, have their new headquarters in Eagan that was built a few years ago. And as part of their development, they are trying to build some luxury apartments in the Eagan area near their new headquarters called Viking Lakes. Now, as the Vikings do with a lot of other organizations, they don't directly build these complexes and buildings. They hire contractors and subcontractors. And unfortunately for the Vikings, two of these subcontractors are in a little bit of hot water for some wage theft allegations, as one of the subcontractors called Absolute Drywall hired a number of Latino immigrants to help with the drywall on this project. But unfortunately, some of the workers are now claiming more than $100,000 are owed to them in wages that were never paid. So, Patrick, want to get your take on this. I know we talked a little bit about this on Friday with Max, but if I'm the Minnesota Vikings right now, this, of course, is a very public organization that has received tax subsidies not only for their stadium, but also partially for their quarter or their headquarters in Eagan through the local Eagan government. I would imagine if you're the Vikings and that very public organization, you would want to avoid any sort of controversy, and this is anything but that with all of these workers now claiming that they are owed these back wages.
Yeah, I think that's one of the surprising elements of this story is that the Carpenters Union warned the Vikings that the subcontractors that they were hiring had a history of labor violations. The Vikings, they assert now that they are unaware of any labor violations on the job site. There was a meeting between the Carpenters and the Vikings. They were warned, but they went ahead anyway, presumably because it was the cheapest bid, and they wound up with subcontractors that have a history, and now these workers have told our reporter Max Nesterak that they were not properly paid, and the total is more than $100,000, and we're talking about more than two dozen workers now at least.
And I know the Vikings can claim, well, technically we weren't the ones who didn't pay these workers, but as you were alluding to, this is very much a judgment hire on who you bring in as your contractors and subcontractors, and if you're just going to go for the cheapest bidder, that obviously has its costs. And you were talking about how they were warned by these unions saying the only reason that you are able to get these bids so low is that they're probably participating in wage theft. So even though I guess you can say technically the Vikings aren't directly involved on this, it's still very much, like I said, is the judgment decision. And are they facing any scrutiny in terms of investigations from either the government or even the subcontractors, because that's a lot of money to be owed back to a number of employees, as you said, well over 2,000. This is a very, very big case.
Yeah. One of the, I thought, things that Max pointed out astutely was that it's like he compared it to a tree with the roots going deep down. And so, You have the Vikings, and they hire these subcontractors. The subcontractors then have another subcontractor. It's not uncommon for a subcontractor to hire folks and say, you have to set up an LLC, and we're going to pay you as an independent contractor. And what that means is that the big developer, in this case the Vikings, are insulated from the kind of legal jeopardy that might fall on them if they were to hire workers directly. And unfortunately, this is almost a business model, especially in residential construction, and it leads to a lot of workers being exploited. I'm not an expert in the law or a lawyer, but it does seem that the Vikings are legally insulated from this. I think they deserve a lot of public scrutiny, especially given the subsidies on the stadium. They have a responsibility, I think, to the community to do projects in which workers are properly paid and not exploited. There's a strong indication that the Department of Labor and Industry in Minnesota, known as DALI, is investigating. And they have taken the complaints of these workers, and certainly the subcontractors who were involved could face the first prosecution in our state of wage theft law that went into effect in 2019. Unfortunately, at this point, has not been used a single time by prosecutors.
Yeah, I want to dive a little bit more into that, because that was a landmark law that was passed in Minnesota, but it has yet to be, well, exercised in the state. And you were talking about how, well, this style of hiring these contractors and subcontractors that who then are able to classify people as independent contractors is kind of the standard for building some of these residential areas around the Twin Cities. And you do wonder if maybe this could be something that gets the ball rolling on these types of cases, because if this law was passed, this anti-wage wage law theft was passed a couple of years ago, easy for me to say, I would imagine, and if no one's ever prosecuted it, something's got to get the ball rolling. So you do wonder if this could be the case right now where maybe they do end up getting prosecuted. Not necessarily the Vikings themselves, but at least these contractors and subcontractors that are facing these allegations.
Yeah, and I also think that it points to the legislature needing to really strengthen this law. And the weakness really is in the investigatory powers. As of now, it's really up to local police, county sheriffs, to investigate these cases criminally. That was what was so important about the law, was that it made this potentially an actual felony, as opposed to just a civil crime, just a civil case. You can actually be prosecuted criminally, in the same way that if a worker put his hand in the till, he would be prosecuted criminally. And why shouldn't an employer who shorts his employee's paycheck, why shouldn't that person also be held accountable? The problem is, it's like, well, who's going to investigate it? Your average local police officer, they did not learn this kind of investigation when they went to the police academy. As for now, where we're doing these kinds of investigations in the Department of Labor and to some extent the Attorney General, but they're really doing civil investigations, not the criminal investigations that the law called for.
And certainly the story is worth chasing. If the Vikings, as we were talking about, were warned about this, and like we were also saying, that this is kind of the standard in the industry, where if you just keep on passing on the buck, where if one organization can give part of the project to a contractor, and then they can give it to a subcontractor, well, then they can keep passing the buck and saying, well, if there's sorts of wage theft allegations, well, we're not the ones responsible to it. Talk to this person or talk to that organization. And yeah, you just kind of end up with a whole web right now, which seems to be the case, being that I believe it was Absolute Drywall who's not even returning phone calls right now, inquiring about what happened.
Yeah, it's just a great way to insulate yourself by passing off responsibility to somebody else. And in the end, it's these workers who say that they are owed a lot of money.
Well, you can read the full piece over at MinnesotaReformer.com. MinnesotaReformer.com, well worth checking out to get into much more of the details that we didn't have time to get into. Want to move on to the political realm now and the Minnesota Republican State Convention, which is taking place this weekend in Rochester. And there is, well, a number of controversies that are taking place with the Republican Party. We've highlighted the fact that they are, among other things, charging campaigns for volunteers. But one other aspect of controversy that could be taking place this weekend has to do with the Republican Party allowing electronic voting at their state convention, despite the fact that the party has spent the past year plus talking about how electronic voting is bad. So I imagine here, Patrick, if there's any endorsements that turn out to be close in any of these races, this is going to create a mess for the Republican Party, being that so much of their base is going to say, well, that endorsement vote wasn't legitimate. It was electronic voting, and we don't know what happened. I imagine that this could be really, really messy for the Republicans this weekend.
Could be. Conventions can often be chaotic. And then you throw in the fact that for nearly 2 years now, they've been eroding everybody's trust in voting systems, which we've used, for decades now. But now, like you said, their voters, including the 2,200 or so delegates who will be there, may have doubts about electronic voting systems. And we could see all kinds of claims and counterclaims of fraud and so forth. And it could be quite paralyzing this weekend in Rochester.
And it does admittedly cost a lot of time to do this by paper. If you were to try to tabulate the endorsements for 14 statewide campaigns at a convention that's only supposed to take place over one weekend. If you were to do that all by paper, yeah, it would admittedly take forever. So even though David Hahn, who used to be my state senator out in the Eden Prairie area, I certainly am not a fan of him. He's the current chair of the Republican Party. He does bring up a good point that if you do this by paper, the convention would take forever. And I attended the 2018 Republican convention covering it on behalf of another organization. And even when they were using electronic voting, that convention still seemed to drag on for a very, very long time. So really, I don't think there's any legitimate way you could do this all by paper and hope to get the thing done in what, like less than a week. It would end up taking a very long time.
Yeah, and they don't have the convention space reserved for Sunday, so they have to get it done on Saturday. And there can be a lot of voting in these things because, you know, somebody doesn't get 60%, then you got to vote again. And this can keep going for hours and hours. And without that electronic voting system, yeah, it would just take forever. But on the other hand, now you're going to have all these Republicans saying the thing was rigged.
Yeah, absolutely. And you wonder, too, if a number of the campaigns, obviously we know a number of the candidates and members of the Republican base are not doing this in good faith. A lot of them are probably hoping, especially in the race for governor, that they end up with the party having no endorsements so they can have a wide open primary. That's certainly going to be the case as well. So this is going to be interesting to watch this weekend in Rochester. And I understand you're going to have Dina Winter down at the convention covering it this weekend, correct?
Right. She's kind of been our ace reporter on all these Republican goings-on during convention season about some of the kind of insurgents who have had some success at local conventions. There's also a controversy in one county. I think it's going to send two slates of delegates because there's some disagreement about who's the true the true pope, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so it should be entertaining, and she'll be there for us.
Yeah, make sure you follow Dina over on Twitter or go to MinnesotaReformer.com, as I'm sure she'll have all sorts of updates from what's happening down in Rochester this weekend with who the Republicans are going to endorse in these 14 statewide campaigns. Chief among them, again, is that race for governor to figure out who they endorse. Important to point out, though, those are just endorsements. The full primaries, of course, later this summer in August. One more quick story to talk about with you, Patrick, and that has to do with the fact that we only have 2 weeks left in the legislative session, and I know Ricardo Lopez has been covering the negotiations that are taking place right now, but what's interesting right now is that it sounds like we've been getting a lot of silence from what's happening over at the state capitol, which could mean that no news could be good news in terms of reaching some sort of agreement, correct?
Right. Usually when they come out of these meetings and they bark into the microphone about how the other guy is negotiating in bad faith, or he's, you know, trying to tax and spend us into oblivion, or trying to cut the schools, that's a sign that, you know, things are not really happening and we're into posturing ahead of the fall election. But they're coming out of these meetings and they're not saying anything. So they may actually be doing some serious negotiation. I'm still a little skeptical. There's a lot of reason for both sides to, especially for Republicans, to just walk away and take their chances on the November election, where they expect to do well and come back with, you know, $9 billion or whatever it is going to be on the bottom line that they can give out huge tax cuts next year.
Yeah, when you're technically not the party in power, at least nationally, just going by whoever's in the White House, typically you, of course, do face a favorable election cycle, and that's a good point to bring up. If you have that $9 million budget surplus coming, or $9 billion, I got to get my figures correct here, $9 billion budget surplus heading into next year, if nothing gets done, yeah, that's a lot of money that they can use for tax cuts for all sorts of various people and businesses that I'm sure we can think of who are typically aligned with the Republican Party. But I know they are still trying to hammer out some agreements on special education funding and even some tax cuts through Walsbucks. Do we have any updates in those two areas that I know they've been negotiating on?
Well, I think that you know, that's Walls, the so-called Walls checks. I mean, I think that's his top priority. I think it's a great re-election issue for him. And the Democratic House caucus is really committed to education funding. So it's hard to imagine any deal that doesn't include at least one of those and probably both.
Well, we'll have to follow along and see what happens. You can follow over at MinnesotaReformer.com as Ricardo is going to be reporting on what's happening at the latest at the state capitol. They technically don't need to reach an agreement since it's not a budget year, but with that $9 billion surplus, some members of the legislature could be anxious to try to reach some sort of agreement. Well, we are just about out of time as we have been speaking with Patrick Houlihan, who is the editor-in-chief of the Minnesota Reformer. Again, make sure you go to MinnesotaReformer.com for all of their great reporting. Patrick, thanks so much for the time today.
Always a pleasure.
All right, let's take a break and send things back to Matt McNeil on AM 950.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Thank you, Patrick Houlihan. I got a lot of things to get to, including I'm going to actually praise a Republican, and I'm dead serious. I'm going to praise him for a bill that they're pushing through and also give him a lot of credit for being honest about something, which it's unfortunate, but the truth is, but at least he understands it. And with the help of the House, I think things can get changed. I'll get to that here in a second. Minnesota coronavirus update for today. Ready to strap in, kids? Yeah, this one's going to scare you a little bit. Tuesday's COVID-19 update from the Minnesota Department of Health includes 5,117 newly reported cases, 5 newly reported deaths. The state's COVID-19 death toll now is 12,534. Now, the 5,117 new cases, that's over the three-day period. That's the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So you're basically looking at about, 650 or so cases per day, which is kind of it's high, but it's kind of bit where things have been at. So it's not extraordinary. Today's update includes case data in that 72-hour period. Through May 9th, okay, here's where things get a little scary. Through May 9th, the number of people COVID-19 hospitalized in Minnesota was 368. That's up from 285. That's almost up by 100. Of those hospitalized, 36 people in intensive care, that's up from 25, 332 people in non-ICU care, up from 260. There's 72 more people in the hospital, non-ICU. As of May 8th, the state reported that 3,909,544 people have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. 3,703,679 people have completed the vaccine series, and there are 2,551,700 Minnesotans up to date with their vaccine shots, including boosters, and that's me. I got my second booster the other day. I love, by the way, that big flag that got over at the VA. I always love when I can get a picture with one of those. You can see that photo of me up on the social media pages. Total number of cases in Minnesota, 1,471,731. Likely a gross undercount, though, of cases here. We do have, in related to this, we do have information about the frontline worker bonuses. Now, the state has identified, here you go, here's the information. The state has identified 15 categories of workers eligible for checks. The industries included are long-term care and home care, healthcare, emergency responders, public health, social service, and regulatory services, courts and corrections, child care, public education, yay, food service, retail, yay, I'm presuming grocery stores fall into that, nice, temporary shelters and hotels, building services, public transit, ground and air transportation services, manufacturing, and vocational rehabilitation. To qualify, you must have logged at least 120 hours in Minnesota and one or more of the specified frontline worker industries between March 15th, 2020 and June 30th, 2021. During that time, you must have been unable to work remotely because of the nature of your work and have worked closely with people outside of your household. You cannot be received unemployment for more than 20 weeks between March 15th through June 26th of 2021. So that's over the 1 year and 3 months. So, once again, you had to work outside the house. You had to work with other people that were outside of your household closely. You could not have received unemployment for more than 20 weeks during that time, which, by the way, that just screams Republican, doesn't it? But, yeah, that's how the people qualify. And it's not a lot of hours. You must have logged at least 120 hours in Minnesota. So, basically, 3 full-time weeks worth of work. You were also income limits. If you work directly with COVID patients, the annual cap is $350,000. If filing taxes jointly with your spouse, and $175,000 filing individually. If you did not care for COVID patients, those limits are $185,000 for married taxpayers filing jointly and $85,000 for individuals. So basically, if you're over those, you can't get a bonus. If I'm an undocumented worker, can I get a check? The legislation does not address undocumented workers or people able to fill out an application truthfully and meet the verification codes of the eligibility criteria. They'll be deemed eligible. And a lot of undocumented workers did jump in and fill those roles during the crisis. So I don't have a problem with that. If they were willing to go in and do the work to keep this country going, by all means. How much money is available? A total of $500 million is available. Really, Price is writing it there, aren't I? Estimated 667,000 frontline workers available. That amounts to about $750 for each eligible worker, though that number could change depending on how many people apply. Fewer applicants will mean bigger checks, and although no more than 150 per worker, and I guarantee you people will try to scam the system. You have 45 days to apply once online application opens, possibly in June. To sign up for updates, there's a link there. I'll make sure I post that story a little bit later on. And also one other final story here about just making it through these tough times. You know, just, you know, scratching, saving, trying to find some way to get past there. David Wickman must have done a bang-up job for selling a product everyone hates last year. The former CEO of Minnetonka-based United Health Group stepped down in February. His 2021 compensation package is $142 million. Might be the largest ever paid by a public Minnesota company, the Star Tribune reported. No need to waste the copay on that throbbing forehead, veiny. You're experiencing a healthy reaction of that news. This is from the racket guys. Over the past decade, Wickman oversaw United Health stock post a total return of 1,057%, almost triple the S&P 500's return during that span. Greed and gouging is one of the main reasons Americans have the world's most expensive health care, said Harvard Magazine. Yet, once again, greed and gouging are how you make all that money. Yet, here we are still among the sickest countries on the earth. Blood is all over Wickman's presumably designer white collar, considering his ghastly system is entrenched in the $4-plus million United Health spreads annually to lobbying and in part to kill popular things that would help people like Medicare for All. And he is off. So, yeah, $142 million. What's the highest contract in baseball right now?
I'm guessing probably about $30 or $40 million a year.
$30 or $40 million. So you're saying this guy did four times better than the best Major League Baseball player at his job in 1 year. God, man. And this is just the tip of the – well, I mean I don't know if this is included in there, but I want to remind people of this. You know, in the 1980s, there was a new mentality. I mean, I'm a business major from William Penn. I know. You used to be – the corporation had a responsibility to the shareholders or the private owners, depending on who it was, to the customers, obviously, to the employees, and to the suppliers. And so and that was what it used to be. And then in the 1980s, all of a sudden, a new element came out. The executive board became the most important thing at any corporation. Their pay was, you know, going up astronomically faster than everyone else's, which they demanded. They actually created consulting services by executives to tell corporations you need to pay executives more money. I mean, it really was obscene. And these guys get all these benefits and all this. And this idea is how our corporate America structure has been flawed, is that it's no longer the shareholders or the owners. It's no longer the customer. It's no longer the employee. It's no longer the suppliers. The first, biggest, most important thing for any company today is its executives. And if you look at $142 million in 1 year, there's no one on the planet that is worth that in 1 year as far as an employee. There's just no one. Who's the highest paid basketball player off the top of your head? It's going to be LeBron?
LeBron or I'm thinking of the guy who just signed a contract in Philly. I think he might – oh, I'm blanking on
him. Embiid?
Yeah, Embiid. Yeah, I think he's got a big one too, yeah.
Wow.
Again, around $30 or $40 million, yes.
Oh, you're keeping an eye on the NBA, I see.
Yeah, hey, indeed, yes.
Is this guy is he four times better than that guy? No.
No, yeah.
No, he's not. I mean, it is amazing to me that this that people look at this and say, "Yeah, we gave him $142 million for 1 year's worth of work." Really? Really? This is a sign in my mind of the flawed system. Is that it used to be the company would have the executive, the president, the vice president, they make like $200,000, $300,000 a year, which would be a lot more than everyone else would. I mean, the rest of the employees would make $40,000, $50,000 a year, but the head guys would make $300,000, $400,000, maybe $400,000. Yeah, it would probably be the high end. They'd live in a really nice house in a really nice part of town. But it wasn't this exorbitant amount of money that was – I mean, what's the average employee over at United Health Group get paid? I mean, I'm going to guess, you know, $35,000, $40,000 is the average employee. How many times? Let's see. That's actually a really good question. Time for Matt's Math Corner here. 142,200,000 divided by, let's say it's $40,000 is the average salary. 40,123 equals this guy makes 3,555 times as much as the average employee if the average employee gets paid $40,000. He made 3,555 times as much as the average employee if they made $40,000. How is that a good system? How is that a good system? I mean, it's great for the executives, and once again, they've created the companies that will tell you how. I mean, it's I go back to where I really saw this was at the end of W's term. When the banks had all the banks had done is destroy the economy. That they had destroyed themselves, they had destroyed their economy, and their entire goal of the government handout was not to save the banks per se, it was to save Operation Christmas Bonus, where their main goal was to make sure the executives got their holiday bonuses. And sure, it could be taxpayer dollars. They didn't care because the executives were the most important thing. They got their bonuses, and then the heck with the rest of the company. And that's when you realized how warped this entire system was and how broken it was. And, you know, if you were making back in the day, you made $50,000 or, you know, let's say you made $30,000 a year and the head of the company made $300,000 a year. That's 10 times as much. And some people would say, well, that's a lot, but that still is at least reasonable. It's not in the 3,555 times as much category. But I can tell you right now, he's already probably rehearsed his speech on why he was worth every damn dime he got paid. Oh, he was. Oh. Plus, you know, the school, private school paid for, kids' colleges paid for, the house was paid for, all the cars were paid for, the food was probably paid for, the club membership was paid for, his vacations were vacation probably was probably paid for. I don't know. It's just $142 million. Sweet Jesus. How does anyone look at that system and say, yep, that's working great? Especially when we're talking about executives dealing with healthcare, an industry which denies people coverage left and right. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. I'm going to praise a Republican when I do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. We have talked a lot over the last 7-8 months about the impending mental health crisis in this country and the problems that we have. We've talked about it from the point of staffing in outstate Minnesota. We've talked about it from the point of schools. We have talked about it in regards to the processing, the licensing process of how to become a counselor and how that's screwed up. We have a lot of problems out there, and the need, and that's one of the larger problems here too, is the substantial need for mental health cases. We actually had one of the Democrats of the day last week was talking about how, tell me a counselor that doesn't have a waiting list of people wanting to see them. And when you're talking about counseling, That's not what you want. These people need to have counseling. They are looking for help, and we can basically say we're on a waiting list, and maybe in a few weeks, a few months. The mental health needs of youth have been rising significantly in the country, with 13% of adolescents reporting to have major depressive episode in 2019, a 60% increase from 2007. Around the nation, youth who are experiencing mental health crises are often put in emergency rooms, must wait several days for receiving care in a treatment program. The New York Times reported that recently. Republican and Democrats in the Minnesota Senate have recognized the need for more mental health support services in the state. Senate file 3249, put forward by Republican Rich Dreheim of Madison Lake, would establish grants to create mental health urgency rooms for people under 25 who are experiencing mental health crises. As Dreheim says, he's been passionate about mental health for a long time. His father was a counselor, and recently one of his nieces died by suicide. Suicide rates, which were stable in 2000 to 2007, rose nearly 60% by 2018, according to the CDC. I think every family has been affected by mental health, Dreheim says. I think every family and members that have struggled with mental health at one point of their lives. Dreheim's bill is a mental health package that includes other smaller bills, including funding for mental health grants for schools, shelter-linked mental health grants, crisis stabilization and urgency rooms as well. Funding to create urgency rooms is brought to Dreheim by Jason Isaacson, the DFLer from Shoreview. So he's working. This is, first of all, I mean, if I can give Dreheim a round of applause on this. And from sincerely, sir, I am so sorry about the loss of a family member. That is something that a lot of people are going through right now. Mental health crises are real, and I am so sorry for your family's loss. And I am, you know, if there is, you know, the fact that you're doing this shows me you're trying to take this situation and make a positive happen. And so, Representative Dreheim, I'm very, very, you know, honored. I'm glad you're doing this. This is a good thing. He becomes very honest, too, and I respect Dreheim for what we're coming up here, though. The grant program would allow applicants, including medical providers, hospitals, emergency rooms, or nonprofits involved in mental health services, to create urgency rooms for individuals under 25 years who are experiencing mental health crises. Medical institutions that receive the grants must be able to accommodate a patient's stay for up to 72 hours, conduct a substance use screening, mental health crisis assessment, provide peer support services, crisis stabilization services, crisis psychiatry, and access to case management and planning. So a lot of good stuff there. That is actually a really good deal. During the Finance Committee meeting on this, Dreheim presented the bill for the 10 committee members to vote on. Some members, like Susan Kent, one of our favorite DFLers from Woodbury, said it needs to do more. Kent teared up during the meeting. She expressed the needs of Minnesotans and to add these services, especially coming out of the pandemic. She brought forward amendments to the bill, including one that sought to add around 1,100 mental health professionals in schools, which is a great idea, in addition to increasing statewide mental health screenings and self-assessments, infant and early childhood mental health services, and early childhood social workers. That proposed amendment, which would cost around $124.5 million over the 3 years, did not pass, though. Several other amendments sought forward by Kent and John Marty, the DFLer from Roseville, did not pass either. Here's where Dreheim comes back, and I respect this, because this is a guy who knows that he wants this bill passed, and he knows the reality of the Republican Senate. I do think that we need to do more, said Dreheim in the response to Kent's amendment. We are moving in that direction with this bill. Do I wish we could do more? Of course I do. But if this is adopted onto the bill, it kills the bill. He knows the rest of the Republican Party will say, the heck with mental health, we're not going to pay for it because the money's there. That actually is I will say this. I mean, I wish you would add this stuff to the bill, because the stuff is a good idea. But that's actually a very honest thing by Dreheim, saying, I would rather do something than watch this bill fail because we tried to do too much, because the Republican Party will vote this sucker down. So I respect that. The bill did pass, that was a 7-1. And now here's the benefit. And this is what Dreheim could actually be referring to. It goes to the House. And so maybe this thing merges in and those good programs are getting in there, because once again, they do have to work together. So nicely done, Representative Dreheim. All the Democrats I mentioned, Isaacson, Martin, and of course, Susan Kent, nicely done as well. This is a major crisis. We need to work on getting good solutions, and it's good to see some solutions coming forward on this one. We are back with Stein tomorrow. Have a good one. Native Roots Radio is up next. Till tomorrow, see ya.